Grainger knows when you're a procurement manager for an office park, you're not managing one building. You're managing all of them. And to stay ahead, you need to see through walls and around corners. Lights about to fail, filters ready to clog, HVAC on its last leg. If you wait until something breaks, you're already behind. Count on Grainger for quality products, easy reordering, and 24/7 support. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us! That's right! I love this American ride!
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah! Well, today is the day that we begin a huge, huge surge to August the 11th. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you joining us today, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And the August 11th date is going to be very, very important to us because that is the official day that my brand new book will be in bookstores around the nation. And this is one of those books that, ladies and gentlemen, is, I think, going to make a big difference within the conservative movement, and especially among Generation Z. Already getting some early reports in from the reviewers that this book is funny, it's entertaining, but it's also inspirational. And it lays out a course for how to fix what is broken with this country. Now, some of you say, well, wait a second, Starnes, the name of the book is The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Well, if America is saved, then why don't we just sit back and drink our Dr. Peppers and our Lazy Boy? Why do we have to do anything? Well, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, is there is a lot more work to be done. There is a lot more work that we have to do to save America. And when Donald Trump, and just hear me on this, all it will take is for the Democrats to regain control of Congress, and all that is good will be undone. I mean, that's how precarious we are. So, yes, it is a golden age. And President Trump has ushered in that golden age. But the reality is we still have a lot of work to do. And the reason I wrote The Golden Age is not just for those of us that are adults, we're in our careers, we're thriving in our lives. It is also for Generation Z. Because this will be the generation that will stop the threat of communism. You know, when you look back at American history, and I write about this in The Golden Age, you have to understand that the communist threat really never went away. Back in the 1950s and 60s, in the aftermath of World War II, we saw that the communists were trying to infiltrate, of all places, Hollywood. And a lot of people didn't understand why there was such concern about the communist infiltrating Hollywood. And I'm talking about writers and producers, the people that worked behind the scenes, and they were infusing a lot of the TV shows, a lot of the movies of the time, with communist ideology. It was really a sort of a soft sell, and it was, I guess you could say, it was a form of brainwashing to some extent, how the communists had infiltrated Hollywood. And there have been some efforts in years past. And by the way, that was the era that brought us great American heroes like Ronald Reagan, who at the time was president of the Screen Actors Guild. And Ronald Reagan did a tremendous job in helping to root out the communists that were operating in Hollywood and in many of the major production studios. Now, when we take a look back at history, and there's been an effort of late to rewrite what happened in the 1950s with movies like Trumbull, who was one of the top writers in Hollywood. He was also a communist, legendary kind of a guy, but he was a communist, and he was a very dangerous man. You would not think that he was a dangerous man, but there was a movie done on Dalton Trumbo back in a couple of years. It may have been longer than that. It's an interesting movie, but it tells the story of his life. And he actually went to prison and was blacklisted for many years in the film industry because of his connections to communism and to the communist. But the whole point of the movie was to portray him as the victim in all of this. And he was certainly not the victim when it came to communism. And his efforts to mobilize and organize the communist in Hollywood. So, again, this is what led to really the political birth of Ronald Reagan, eventually as a Republican. You had William F. Buckley Jr., who, of course, founded National Review. And those two, along with Goldwater, really became the foundation of the modern conservative movement. And the fight was always against communism. It was good versus evil. It was a religious battle. And you heard President Trump using very similar language during the 4th of July holiday when he described the fight against communism in America as a holy war. And that's why many of us, you know, when you look at Ronald Reagan and when Reagan when he was invited to the Soviet Union, he talked about religion. He talked about God. Because Reagan knew ultimately the way to defeat communism was not through politics, but it was actually through religion. And that's exactly what Reagan did. So I'm writing about all of this in the Golden Age, sort of giving you a little bit of history to understand where we are now, where you have the rise of communists disguised as democratic socialists who are winning these elections. And why is that? Well, we just had our good buddy Gabriel Delaney on, and I sat down and interviewed Gabriel for the book and to get his perspective as a history teacher, somebody who is literally on the front lines of this fight for the soul of our country. And that fight is happening in America's classrooms. And the reality is not everybody can afford to send their kid to a Christian school. Not everybody can afford to, you know, homeschool their kids. And so the reality is an overwhelming majority of our population, they're educated in public schools. And these public schools are now populated with teachers that have gone through the indoctrination. They've gone through the brainwashing, even in their own junior high school and high school careers, through their college careers. Many of these teachers are in their 20s. And they have been completely radicalized. Many of them may not even know that they've been radicalized. And you see a lot of that. You see a lot of it on TikTok. Not all of it, but you see a lot of it on TikTok where you see the photos of the classrooms where they've got the pride flags and the Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. So it's there. And that's the danger zone here. When you look at what's happening in our culture right now, all of it is coming out of our nation's education system, which is one of the reasons why I explain this in the book, why it is so vitally important for us to reclaim control over our nation's public education system. And if we don't do that, we will go from the Golden Age right back to the Dark Age. That's how quickly this could happen. So I'll give you an example of how ferocious this fight is going to be in November. Coming up next week, we've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley and several other radical leftists that are coming to Memphis to campaign for a guy by the name of Justin Pearson. We've mentioned him before. He's the guy he's a black dude. He was educated at a very wealthy school in Maine, and yet he talks like he's from the hood. He is now a black English guy. If you listen to yesterday's show, you know what we're talking about with the black English. And so Justin Pearson, he used to talk whiter than me. I mean, he had a great grasp on standard English. But then, you know, he's back in Memphis, and he's embraced this street thug mentality. And he actually got in the face of a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer inside the state capitol in Nashville. This happened a couple of months ago. You might remember this. And he literally got into the face of the white state trooper and screamed at him, called him a mother effing boy. This guy is running for Congress. And the Democrat Party sees this as an opportunity to win this congressional seat, which is why they're sending down AOC and the squad to Memphis, Tennessee next week. So this is, again, if this guy gets elected, I don't think he will. There's a guy by the name of Brent Taylor, who is a rock solid conservative, and he's basically Donald Trump with a southern accent. And I will say that Brent Taylor more than likely will win, but it is going to be a tough fight, especially if the Democrats decide to nationalize the 9th congressional race in Tennessee. So again, this is happening all over America. It's happening not just in the big cities like New York or even Seattle, but it's happening everywhere. And that's why I wrote this book. I want sincerely want all of you to read this. And it is over 300 pages. Dylan, you're in the book. Did I mention that to you?
It's an honor. Yeah, I think you have.
I should mention that again. I'm trying to see.
I just want to know if it's good or bad. I mean,
let's see.
Dylan over here, he's slacking, you know.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
It's a pretty decent. Yeah. No, it's pretty decent.
Thank you.
But we've got, we have all sorts of great, and by the way, we have photographs as well. They put the photos of me and the president. We had a couple of photos of me and the president, and I greatly appreciate that. I want to read this to you as we get ready to go to break. This is from the opening of the book, and again, it's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And I wrote this. We're going to pick up here, and I framed this story as the Bible story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys that were thrown into the fiery furnace. And I wrote these words that that the three Hebrew youngsters taught us a lesson that should give us comfort in these difficult days. Faith requires us to trust God no matter our circumstances, even if that means sacrificing our lives. Because again, going back to the Old Testament, those three Hebrew children had no idea what was going to happen once they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They thought they were going to lose their lives. I went on to write this. I can't imagine that Charlie Kirk woke up on that awful, terrible day and said to himself, I'm going to be martyred today at Utah Valley University. He always knew there was a risk, but it was a risk worth taking because Charlie was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. President Trump has taken great risks and put his own life on the line for this nation and for the America First movement. He could have easily retired in 2020 and spent the rest of his years playing golf around the world, but he was drawn to a greater cause, and I suspect he answered the call of a much higher power. All that is to say, there is a price to pay for taking a stand. Freedom comes with a cost. And tens of thousands of our fellow countrymen have paid the ultimate price to ensure that the Star Spangled Banner still waves over the land of the free and the home of the brave. We are now living in a period known as the Golden Age, a time of great prosperity and hope and, yes, common sense. There was a similar time in the early part of the 20th century known as the Roaring Twenties. But the 1920s gave way to the Great Depression, and therein lies a cautionary tale. The Golden Age is not a destination. It is an aspiration. We must fight for our freedom every day. We cannot take it for granted. We must raise up our children to follow the teachings of Christ. We must embrace a strong work ethic. And like those three Hebrew boys, we must always keep our eyes focused on providence, knowing that God has blessed us. As President Trump declared in his inaugural address, we must stand bravely, love proudly, and dream boldly. And if we do, the future will indeed be ours, and our golden age will have just begun. Well, Dylan, that was actually pretty good. I do say so myself.
Not to toot your own horn or anything.
Right. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn.
I'll just be the one to say it was good, Doc.
But that's just a couple of paragraphs.
That's good.
307 pages here. It's called The Golden Age, and you can go to Amazon right now. Go to Barnes & Noble, pre-order a copy today, and it'll be there in your mailbox on launch day, August the 11th. Of course, you can wait till August 11th and go buy a hardcover copy in your local bookstore. But we're urging you today, the audience of the Todd Stern Show, get out there, get a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Pre-order it at your favorite bookstore. It's been endorsed by House Speaker Mike Johnson, Congressman David Kustoff, Congressman Marlon Stutzman, Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, Pastor Jack Hibbs, senior pastor at Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California. So a lot of great folks are a part of this incredible project. All right, we've got to take a break. Coming up, crazy story out of the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it is a race powder keg. We're going to get into that story. Also, in Houston, ICE agent opening fire, killing a bad guy. Same thing happened in Memphis, Tennessee yesterday. Here's the rule of thumb, ladies and gentlemen. This is a pro tip for all you criminal thugs out there. If you point a gun at law enforcement, they're going to shoot back. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, Congressman Scott Perry is going to be joining us. Also, the latest on Graham Plattner, our good buddy Steve Gill, and Harry Hurley, our great panel. They're going to be here a little bit as well. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Somebody has to help this country, and if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
One of the most polarizing political figures in American history gets a full-scale defense. The America 250 film series presents Vindicating Trump. Go inside the battles, accusations, media storms, and legal fights that shaped an historic comeback story. It's Vindicating Trump this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Again, get your copy of The Golden Age wherever you buy your books, online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. Well, Graham Plattner, you folks in Maine, what a crazy, crazy story. But yesterday, Graham Plattner deciding to, pull the plug. He is dropping his campaign to be the next senator from Maine. And I guess, it's interesting here. Sometimes you want to feel sorry for people. I have a hard time feeling sorry for Graham Plattner. However, this is a guy who did every single thing that the Democrats required of him. It's not like any of this was a surprise. As a matter of fact, we know from interviews with top Democrat political operatives, they knew about all of this. They knew about his background. They knew about the Nazi tattoo. They knew about all of the allegations surrounding rape and sexual assault and mistreating women. They knew all about the allegations, but they still gave him the go-ahead. So as much as this is on Graham Plattner, it just seems to me that there's more of it on the Democrat Party. But in spite of all of this, what really blows my mind is that an overwhelming number of the Democrats, even after all of this came out, an overwhelming number of Democrats in Maine actually still support this guy. And they think he's okay. What does that tell you about the Democrats in Maine? I tell you what, if you're a dad, there's no way you should let your daughter go out with a male Democrat. I'm just telling you right now. By the way, now three possibilities to replace Graham Plattner on the Democrat side of the aisle. First question, have you ever raped anyone? That would be my first question. 901-260-5926. Just rip that Band-Aid right off. We'll be right back.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought I was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed, or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
How did you find Graham Plattner?
Well, so, I mean, we went through thousands and thousands of prospects. Then, you know, Leanne pulled up this video of this guy with an oyster farm.
My name is Graham Plattner, and I live in Sullivan, Maine, the owner of Frenchman Bay Oyster Company.
And then she pulled up his FEC history and saw, you know, the money he'd given to Bernie Sanders and, you know, some other people. And that was enough information to know that we had the best prospect that we'd maybe ever seen.
How did you go about vetting him? And why did you?
We paid a nice firm a whole chunk of money and got some stuff back.
Did the vetting process turn up the tattoo that became so controversial?
No.
The Reddit posts, did that turn up in the vetting process?
The firm sent us a thing, and it had some of the posts,
yeah,
but it didn't have all of them.
How did you think your way through the fact that he had posted these things on social media?
I said none of this will or should stop him from becoming a U.S. senator.
Well, there you have it. Why am I not surprised a guy that sounds like that is the guy who vetted Graham Plattner? You know what I mean, Dylan?
I can't tell if he's crying or if he doesn't have a strong vocal cord. I don't really know what's happening.
It's terrible. So the guy you just heard, there's a guy and a gal, that's Dan Maraff and Leanne Fan. And they are radical progressive recruiters of economic populist. So they went out and found this guy to run. And then there was a third person involved. His name was is Morris Katz. And he told Mr. Plattner that he was the one, a hero of the movement, a historical figure who could be leading a revolution. The New York Times just published a deep dive into what they're calling a slow rolling disaster inside the implosion of the Plattner campaign. But folks, they all knew it. This is who the Democrats are. They have no morality. This is a party. Go back to 2012. I was there. I was there at the DNC meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, inside the arena when they tried to vote God out of the party platform. I kid you not. As a matter of fact, the first vote, there was a huge crash of thunder. I am not making this up. There were severe storms that suddenly hit Charlotte when they decided to vote God out of the party. These people have no moral sense. They've got no morals at all. So, no, I'm not surprised that they went down this path. But, Dylan, we got to help out the people here. Democrats, they've already started the vetting process. And as I said, number one on the list for any Democrat Party candidate, have you ever raped anyone? And
yep.
Are you on any
lists?
Are you on any list that are currently kept by law enforcement? Do you have to stay, you know, 500 feet away from elementary schools?
Yeah.
Those are the first three questions.
Honestly, yeah. It's a sad reality.
Well, do you wear pink scarves?
Oh, yeah.
That's special for Texas.
I think we're adding to the list every single day.
We are. It's crazy. This is insane. But anyway, but this is all of the Democrat Party. They knew what they were getting. The whole point is, they knew what they were getting. So this guy, maybe he's changed his ways. I don't know. I wouldn't trust this guy to shuck an oyster. But, you know, that's just me. But the bigger problem is the Democrats in the state of Maine think that his behavior was okay, or at least it did not disqualify him from serving in public office. I mean, what does that say about the average Democrat in America, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Interesting story out of Tennessee. Senator Marsha Blackburn, and maybe our Tennessee listeners are going to help me out on this. Now, full disclosure, and I know a lot of people are shocked by this, but I just want to go through this and explain where I'm at on the Tennessee governor's race. Early on, I endorsed Senator Marsha Blackburn, and I still stand by that endorsement. That being said, we have interviewed both of her opponents on this radio program, and every time we do, the candidates come away somewhat surprised that I was fair and balanced. But that's my job. You know, I can set aside and ask the tough questions. I don't work off anybody's talking points. And I've been pretty adamant that Marsha Blackburn needs to debate. And the reason why is I believe that she would win the debate. Now, you may disagree with that, but I still think she ought to debate. I think any candidate running for office should be debating their opponents and should be answering questions that are completely unscripted. As a matter of fact, Monday, I'm going to be moderating a debate with all four of the Republicans running in Tennessee's 9th Congressional District primary. And it is going to be a very lively, ferocious debate. I am looking forward to it. And I think this helps the candidates, and it makes them stronger candidates in the general election. I think it also is a reminder that you're handed nothing in this country on a silver platter. You got to work for it. You got to work for people's votes. I think it's also good for the voters because they need to hear from their candidates. They need to hear what these people believe, and they also need to be, you know, called out on things sometimes. So anyway, here's what gets me about Blackburn. There are a lot of people in Tennessee that just do not like Senator Marsha Blackburn, and I can't figure out why. I mean, when you look at her voting record is rock solid. I mean, she's been a pretty ferocious defender of Donald J. Trump. She's been a very loyal, I mean, she has served this state with distinction, going all the way back to the state house. She was part of the team that stopped. She fought against her own party and stopped a state income tax from being imposed on the citizens of Tennessee. She was a great congresswoman. As a matter of fact, there had been talk at one point in her career of her possibly being a vice presidential running mate. But now, all of a sudden, it's like people are calling her a rhino. Could someone explain to me why you say that? And I get it. You're a supporter of John Rhodes, okay? You know, and John Rhodes is like, well, you know, she's not 100% Trump. Well, you know, John Rhodes was hanging out with Mike Pence. What does that make John Rhodes? I'm just using that as an example. So anyway, there's been a lot of controversy in Tennessee because Marsha Blackburn refuses to debate Congressman John Rose, who is also running to be governor. We had Congressman Rose on the program. Was that this week? It was this week. It's been a long week. We had him on this week. I asked Congressman Rose, would you be willing to debate State Representative Monty Fritz? Nope, can't do it. He's not a viable candidate. So, look, you can't go out there. That's what we call hypocrisy, by the way, or double standard. So if you're going to get out there and you're going to say, well, I'm not going to debate, you know, Marsha, you know, I'm not going to debate Monty Fritz, but then you're going to call out Marsha Blackburn, you can't do that. You just can't do that. So anyway, I'm just curious why you folks in Tennessee are so adverse to Marsha Blackburn. It just doesn't make any sense to me. All that to say, she sat down for an interview in Memphis with a news anchor here, a guy by the name of Joe Birch. And I don't know the guy. I don't believe I've ever met the guy. Seems nice enough on TV. But man, he tore into Marsha Blackburn like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. And I want you to listen. He asked her, it was a nasty interview, is what it really was a nasty interview. And it was really unfair. But I want you to listen to the question he asked Marsha Blackburn about her post. There was a social media post on wanting Tennessee to be the most Christian conservative state. Take a listen.
We saw a Facebook post you made last night. It was you or maybe your staff made it. But it said, quote, Tennessee should be the number one Christian conservative state in America. Did you post that?
Our team posted that last night, yes.
The team posted. Well, how do you reckon your Christian conservative point of view with Jesus' command to his followers to love all people, especially elevating foreigners and outsiders to the same status as their neighbors? So you've heavily promoted your federal expansion act to grant bonuses to local law enforcement partnering with ICE. As governor, would you mandate that all Tennessee counties participate in these programs with ICE? And how would the state absorb long-term detention costs if federal funding fluctuates?
Tennessee should be the number one state when it comes to deporting illegal aliens and sending the messages to gangs and cartels, just like we've done here in Memphis. If you come here, if you traffic drugs, if you traffic human beings, we are going to find you. We are going to detain you. We will lock you up. We're going to prosecute you, and we are going to deport you. And indeed, what you want to do is to make certain that you are supporting law enforcement in this effort. I've been endorsed by law enforcement organizations, and I am grateful for that support. As I mentioned, jobs, the economy, wages, and public safety and education. Those are the top three things that Tennesseans are talking about. When you talk about Memphians and Shelby Countyans, public safety, we hear it over and over. They want to make certain that our communities are safe, that if there are criminals, that they are apprehended, they are locked up, they are off the streets.
But how do you reckon all of that with Jesus' command to love one another, especially the foreigner?
It is, you know, I've got to tell you, I don't know if you've ever been to the southern border when Joe Biden had that open. And if you have talked to people that were being trafficked across that border, most girls who were 10 years old were getting pregnancy tests. Most women were being raped. Children were being abused. There was a horrible, horrible practice, and it was called child recycling, where children would come across with somebody and then they would go back over. Indeed, the Biden administration stopped doing DNA testing to protect these children that were being trafficked. And you know why they did it? They said it took too long. 45 minutes. 45 minutes to save a child? I was astounded. I got that DNA testing reinstated and fingerprinting reinstated so that we could protect children. And I work every day to make certain that children are not being trafficked. The Memphis Task Force has found 157 missing children. It is not compassionate to allow drug traffickers to run through our communities. It is not compassionate to let human traffickers take our kids and traffic them. The compassionate thing to do is to stop those practices.
Fair enough.
I think what's overwhelming for me is the ignorance of the news anchor. He has no theological background at all. Guy's a Catholic, and I'm not surprised because those Catholic charities have been responsible for promoting the invasion of our nation by the illegals. So, but what he was getting at, well, geez, hold on. I've got to do this right here because he's got the fake news anchor voice on. Now, Senator Blackburn, how do you reckon, Senator Blackburn, how do you reckon the Bible's teachings that Jesus said we are to love one another? And especially the foreigner. Well, that doesn't mean we have to allow the foreigners to come into our community, into our nation, Joe Birch, and rape and pillage and plunder and run people over in semi-trucks. You moron! So I'm going to try to help him out here. This is one of the reasons why we have a great sponsor here called My Faith Assistant. It's a great online, sort of a Christian ChatGPT. Run by our friend Dr. Michael Youssef. And you can go in and you can ask, what does the Bible say about a specific issue? And we asked two questions. First of all, what does the Bible say about having borders? Because if you listen to someone like Joe Birch from Channel 5 WMCTV, you would come away thinking that it's a sin for a country to have a border, and it is not. As a matter of fact, God actually establishes national boundaries. Scripture teaches us that in the Old and the New Testament. In the book of Acts chapter 17, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. In Deuteronomy, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. You say, okay, but what about what he said about, well, I reckon Jesus said love one another. Of course he did, but that doesn't mean you got to disobey the laws of the land. Jesus did command us to love our neighbors, but they got to stay on their side of the fence. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, the Bible says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God, for he is God's servant for your good. The Bible says we are to be kind and show compassion, but nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus commanded us to welcome illegal immigrants into our nation by the thousands or by the tens or the tens of thousands. Nowhere. Not at all. And it's incredibly unfair because this guy, he's clearly working off somebody's left-wing talking points, and it was a low blow. It was a low blow, and I thought the senator answered the question pretty directly. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Joe Birch, what about all those legal immigrants trying to come in here? You want to talk about compassion? What about the compassion for them? Because every time an illegal crosses the border, that means the legal people here have to wait another day, another year to get across the border legally. We'll be right back.
When you're a maintenance engineer in a beverage manufacturing plant, you keep production lines moving and quality on track because there's no room for slowdowns. With Grainger's vast selection of high-quality motors, sensors, belts, and hard-to-find parts, you can get what you need fast and all in one place, so nothing gets in the way of getting the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Oh, exciting news for those of you that are traveling down to South Florida. Maybe you're going to be landing at what used to be known as Palm Beach International Airport. Well, got a name change late last night. Take a listen.
Attention all aircraft, effective immediately. Palm Beach International Airport is officially President Donald J. Trump International Airport. President Donald J. Trump International Airport. Atis Information Hotel, now current. Trump Altimeter 3009.
I love that. Trump International Airport. You know the lefties are going to go bonkers, but love it, love it, love it. Congratulations to President Trump. Coming up in the next hour, right out of the gate, we're talking to Congressman Scott Perry out of Pennsylvania. We're going to get the very latest on the Save America Act. President Trump is now really, really putting on the pressure. Also, Steve Gill from TriStar Daily News and Harry Hurley, WPG in Atlantic City. Those guys are going to be with us as well. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. And thank you for listening to us and watching us wherever you might be across America. Of course, we're broadcasting now on Facebook Live, Rumble, YouTube, and getting a very, very large broadcast audience. So welcome aboard, however you might be hanging out with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, I want to bring into the conversation our good friend from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Congressman Scott Perry. And Congressman, before we get started, well done on the big booth, the pavilion at the Great American State Fair. Man, you guys had a lot of folks standing in line.
We did, Todd. Great to be with you. And, you know, it's just, look, it's a good news story in a time and a world where there's a lot of division, right? You know, Senator McCormick, the Republican from Pennsylvania, Senator Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, got together with some local businesses and threw it together at the last minute. And of course, that's part of the story because it was our governor that said he was not going to participate. Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where so much of the 250th occurred 250 years ago, was not going to be part of it. And of course, those two senators said, you know, look, we're going to do the right thing for the country. We're going to do the right thing for the Commonwealth. Businesses stepped up. A local guy right where I live stepped up with his collection and brought it down there. And of course, people wanted to see it. And so that's the wonderful news that even in a society that's divided, where some of our leaders are petty, good things can happen.
You see, I'm with you there, Congressman, and I'm still working off the euphoria of what happened last weekend, because it tells me in small towns, medium-sized towns, big cities, people were wearing the red, white, and blue. They were celebrating. They were loving America. And it just tells me there are more freedom-loving patriots in America than there are those, you know, 11 governors who decided to thumb their nose at the country.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is America, Todd. You know, sometimes people have disagreements. We disagree with each other. We disagree on policy. But the one thing that we knew, at least in the recent past, is that we all love the country. Now, of course, we have some, in current times, we have some people that are even being elected to office who do not love the country. And it's an opportunity to show them why America is great. You can disagree with each other. You can disagree with the policy. But love the country, because there's no place like it in the world.
Exactly. Congressman, I noticed this morning, I always hop on the X feed, and I am stunned by this story that you and your team shared. Apparently, all new cars that are being sold in the European Union are going to be required to include an infrared camera that monitors the driver's eyes and face for distraction. Congressman, this is insane, and you wonder how long is it going to be before we start seeing something like that happen here in America?
Well, look, one of the major manufacturers, American manufacturer, just filed for patents for the same stuff. They're going to be monitoring your eyes, your heart rate, your respirations, of course, your conversation. You know, cars as of 2027 in America are required to have a kill switch in them so that the car can determine whether it likes your driving or not and shut off the car. I had an amendment to get rid of it. Unfortunately, all the Democrats and I think about 19 Republicans voted against me on that. We don't want to live in a surveillance state. We like technology. We like what it provides. We like the safety and you know, the use of the tools. But we also all took an oath to the Constitution. And the Fourth Amendment says that we're not going to be subject to unlawful, unwarranted search and seizure. And that's exactly what this is, Todd. So it is a brave new world, and we're all going to have to weigh in.
We don't need the government in the back seat as a driver. That's what concerns me here.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you can imagine, you know, the car gets used to your driving because it's got all this AI and computers and so on and so forth. And all, of course, all the sensors we just talked about. And then something happens that's different. And I pick a time where it's the middle of the night and a young man is taking his pregnant wife to the hospital in a hurry and he's driving differently than he normally does, or a young lady who's being stalked by somebody who follows her out of the store and she's driving in a hurry, unlike she normally does, to the police station, and your car shuts off for you. No, thank you. We'll determine. We don't need the government figuring that out for us.
Congressman Scott Perry on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Of course, Congressman, we are all very concerned, as is President Trump, about the Save America Act.
Yeah.
Any new intel that you can share with us?
Well, look, the pressure keeps building. We're going to move it again in the House. We're going to try to do some stuff on reconciliation. It really continues to come down to the Senate, who keeps telling us they're trying as hard as they can, but they don't have the votes. And with that, I say, Todd, they're not trying as hard as they can. They've been out for weeks. If they were trying as hard as they could, they'd be in all those weeks putting it on the floor every single day. They'd be debating it. They'd be doing the standing filibuster. And they'd be, instead of telling us they don't have the votes, they'd be showing us by putting it on the floor every day, forcing Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, and all those nutty Democrats to vote no against their own constituents and the wishes of the American people. If they were doing that and said, we're trying everything we can, I'd believe them. But right now, I don't see it. So the House is going to try and force them to do it. And we need the American people, all of them, to not get tired, to not get weary of the fight, to not just throw up their hands and say, what can you do? But to call your senator every day and demand a vote on it.
Yeah, is this more of a leadership thing? I just get the vibe that Senate leadership is not on board completely with the president's agenda. Are you sensing that at all?
Well, in many occasions, and this is one of them, I do sense that because I'm sure there are some members, even the Republican side, that don't want to vote for things because, like, get it, they don't like President Trump. I mean, you can imagine Senator Cassidy, maybe Senator Cornyn got a burr under the saddle now and just don't want to help the president. But for goodness sake, help your country. Don't make it personal. Let your ego, put your ego aside. But at the same time, John Thune can't let them hide behind, we don't have the votes. Don't tell us, show us. If Cornyn, Cassidy, McConnell, whoever don't want to vote yes, well, let's see it. Let's see who's on our side and who's not on our side.
Well said. Congressman, before I let you go, in addition to being a national radio host, I happen to own a news radio station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. We are an AM radio station. And of course, there is a ferocious fight right now. The National Association of Broadcasters heading to Capitol Hill, and we're urging members of Congress to get behind the AM for Every Vehicle Act. You know, a lot of these manufacturers want to remove AM radio out of the vehicle. We would love to get you on board with our plans.
Well,
and fight
I'm already
for AM
supportive
radio.
Of that, Todd. I'm an AM listener. It's, of course, when things go bad, that's where a lot of people turn to. For their information. And, you know, when the satellite quits, you're going to need to turn to old fashioned. And I would say to the car manufacturers, instead of forcing me to buy a camera, lane assist, and all the other features that I can't afford and don't think I need, give me the one that I want. How about that?
I love that. That's great. Well, God bless you, Congressman, for doing that. As a radio station owner, I greatly appreciate it because we really do believe AM radio matters in this country. So,
it sure does.
Congressman, yes,
it does.
God bless you. Always great to see you, and thanks for fighting the good fight for us.
God bless you. You take care, Todd.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman Scott Perry, one of the good guys on Capitol Hill. By the way, we do need your help on this, ladies and gentlemen. AM radio is in the crosshairs of many of these automobile manufacturers, and we need to make sure that AM radio stays in your car and all of the new cars that are being built in America. So here's what we want you to do. I want you to get something, write this down. Tell Congress that AM radio still matters. You can do that by texting the letters AM to 39179. Again, text AM to 39179 and be sure to send Congress a message that you want them to save AM radio. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, a lot of people say that reverse mortgages did not fail retirees, and that's true. Bad information did. Years ago, these loans earned a really bad reputation, but fortunately, regulations have changed. Protections have improved, and today many Americans are now using reverse mortgages responsibly as part of a smart retirement strategy. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Movement Mortgage. They are offering all of our listeners a free customized retirement mortgage options plan so you can actually see the facts and the numbers and your real options in black and white. It's completely personalized, and it shows how your home, often your largest asset, may be used to support retirement income, reduce financial pressure, and maybe even eliminate monthly mortgage payments. Very simple. All you have to do is call 580-REVERSE. That's 580-REVERSE, or go to movement.com/starnes. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to give you a free consultation, and you're going to be able to receive a customized retirement mortgage plan, and they're going to give you a free book about reverse mortgages. So again, 580-REVERSE, go to movement.com/starnes. Be sure to mention my name if you call in, Todd Starnes at 580-REVERSE. All right. Welcome back. Let's get right to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Joe from Ella J, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, I just wanted to call you and tell you, America's lucky to have you. You're a great talk show host. You're a great taxpayer champion. And America is blessed to have a great man like you that's a taxpayer champion and a strong advocate for the American taxpayers. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, Joe, you're kind to say that. You know, I grew up as a kid in the 70s and 80s listening to AM radio. My grandfather, when I was a kid, gave me a transistor radio and fell in love with that thing. And I remember staying up late at night under the covers, you know, as a kid, and trying to dial in and see what stations, you know, you could get, you know, at nighttime when those signals just exploded all over the country. And it was fun listening to, like, you know, WLW in Cincinnati and WWL in New Orleans. That was a lot of fun for me as a kid.
Well, they trained you well because you're great. You're a great advocate for the taxpayer. And on top of that, you're a very fine man. I've never heard anything but good things about you. And I've, you know, met a lot of people that have known you and have called into you. So thank God for Todd Starnes. And I just want to say thank you.
Joe, I appreciate that and those kind words as always. And thank you. Stay cool up there in the North Georgia mountains. Good folks there in North Georgia. No, it was one time, Dylan, we had all, you know, our AM radio station here is 10,000 watts. So in the daytime, you can hear about 80 miles, 80, 90 miles in any given direction. But one day we had an issue, you know, and then we're supposed to lower the power at night because it interferes with a clear channel station in Canada, which I still can't figure out why we care about that. But apparently the FCC does. So anyway, we had an issue at the tower site where the it locked up, the daytime signal locked up. I'll never forget, it happened because I was traveling to Atlanta and I could hear the station clear as a bell outside of Birmingham. I thought, uh-oh, something happened.
You know that's a problem if you can hear it in Birmingham.
Indeed. Speaking of problems, this headline from the New York Post. Taco Bell locations pull ingredients off menu as explosive diarrhea parasite cases surge.
Is that not the entire menu?
Pretty much. That's what I thought. I thought, isn't that what they call a taco?
I thought that's why you don't schedule anything after you eat Taco Bell.
It's the chalupa. So, according to the New York Post, this story out yesterday, Taco Bell restaurants are now pulling fresh ingredients from their menu. All right, can we stop here? I didn't realize they had fresh ingredients.
I didn't realize that's the reason.
Wow.
Wait, the fresh ingredients are the problem?
That's according to the New York Post. Yeah. Taco Bell restaurants pulling the fresh ingredients, including lettuce, cilantro, onion, pico de gallo, and guacamole.
Oh, so all the stuff that I take off anyway.
It's a nationwide recall.
This is good news, actually.
This is apparently happening predominantly in the Metro Detroit area. So if you're downwind, thoughts and prayers to you.
Especially in those skyscrapers, it really doesn't get, you know,
right. Oh my gosh,
a tight squeeze.
Oh gosh. Well, and then they have the. I mean, usually those are closed, cloistered environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So God forbid you get a full floor that, you know, that's not good at all. The missing ingredients are staples in several Taco Bell favorites, including tacos, the Crunch Wrap Supreme, and Cantina Chicken menu items. I really don't venture far from the beef on a Taco Bell's menu.
I'll get the Cantina Chicken because that is pretty good. But I really don't get the healthy stuff, if I'm being perfectly honest.
The menu shakeup comes as health officials investigate a surge into something called cyclosporosis. That's an intestinal illness. Okay, basically, it's explosive diarrhea. So far, nearly 2,000 people across the country have been sickened. You know who I would blame for this?
Who's that?
I'd blame the Sherman people.
Yeah, seriously. What have they been up to?
Yeah. They need more toilet paper sales.
They do. They're the they planted that lettuce.
Michigan has reported 992 cases of the outbreak. Wow. That's according to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, a dramatic jump from the roughly 50 cases the state typically records each year. As I'm turning the page here, why, oh, why do we have stock photo of a woman sitting on a toilet?
I'm glad you noticed. Just in case you weren't, you know, aware of what's actually happening.
And she's got her hands in her face is in her hands.
Yeah.
It seems to me, if you're dealing with, I don't know, explosive diarrhea, there should be a horrified look.
Oh, yeah. That's not descriptive enough at all.
This is like having a bad day. Yeah. May have a migraine.
Yeah. Explosive diarrhea is like you're taking the shoes off, the socks too, if you have to.
For the love of Gordita, make it stop. Make it stop. Lord, I promise never to eat another chalupa. Make it stop. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're right, though.
Right?
That's how it is.
The Centers for Disease Control. Wow, this is getting this like the CDC involved. I mean, this is like the China virus. Good Lord.
Taco Bell, what did you do?
They say the illness can cause watery diarrhea and sometimes, quote, frequent explosive bowel movements that may last for a month or longer.
Is this continuous or is this like when you have to go, you have to go?
I don't know.
Because one is way worse.
You know, here's what gets me. I mean, if it's that long, at some point people are going to say, just put me out of my misery.
Yeah.
Other symptoms include stomach cramps, nausea, bloating, fatigue, loss of appetite, and weight loss. Well, yeah, I guess so. Lord, it's kind of like, I don't know, having some sort of like orca. All that water coming out the blowhole. Jeez, Lou. No wonder you're losing weight. Forget about Ozempic. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. Before we go to our esteemed panel, I want to take in a couple of calls here. John in Dawsonville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on that crazy Taco Bell story we just shared with you. All right, John, what say you?
How you doing, Todd? I hated hearing you talking about that because I'm going to be having a medical procedure here in a couple of weeks that's going to require me to take medication that's not going to be much fun, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think I do. Would it be easier for you just to maybe cheaper just to go get a chalupa?
Yeah. Well, that's the reason, Todd, I refer to it as Taco Hell. Anyway, before I forget,
go ahead, John.
Before I forget, I know you love the Star Spangled Banner as much as I do, and I have a version of that on my playlist that I'd like Dylan to look up, and I'd love to hear you play it on your station. It's by a group called Madison Rising.
Madison Rising. All right, we'll check. We will check into that, and we'll definitely look into that. Madison Rising, John. Good hearing from you. Good luck with your medical procedure, and yeah, I'd stay away from that Taco Bell drive-thru, my friend. All right, 901-260-5926. If you missed that last segment, Taco Bell announcing that they are pulling ingredients off of their menu because of an outbreak of explosive diarrhea. Well, let's bring in our great panel, Harry Hurley from WPG Radio in Atlantic City, and Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com in Nashville. Fellas, you just never know what's going to happen on live radio.
How's that for an intro?
Speaking of explosive diarrhea, Harry Hurley, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that.
Guys, before we jump into some of the other stories, I am curious, and both of you guys are big media superstars here. Harry Hurley, first to you, have you had a 20-minute conversation with Senator Mitch McConnell over the past 48 hours?
The answer to that would be negative. I have not.
And Steve Gill, what about yourself?
I was actually going to use one of those generators and post. I'm marked safe from having a 20-minute conversation with Mitch McConnell.
It's the craziest thing. And it's just, you know, I've known Scott Jennings. We've been on the same platform together. I have no reason to doubt the guy at all, but it's just all very strange, Harry. What say you?
Yeah. Oh, well, it reminds me what we would hear about Joe Biden, just to be fair. Oh, my gosh. You don't get to see it like we do. We can't keep up with him. His energy is unbelievable. I don't believe there's 20-minute conversations that are going on. I think it's sadly very, very bad. And I think he was just doing him a solid to make things look better than they are.
Yeah, it's a tough situation there. I want to move on to what's happening in Maine. Graham Plattner finally pulling out of the race. Steve, what does it say to you, though, that there were still a very large number of Democrats in Maine that were supporting this guy, even though they knew all these scandalous details of his life?
Well, and his exit literally being on the side of a roadway. It's like, you know, again, the whole thing has been bizarre from the beginning. But the most bizarre aspect is the embrace of this bizarre nutcase, pervert by the Democratic Party, who are still, you know, refusing to let him go in many cases. And, you know, they deserve it. We should stick them to him, not just in Maine, but in the entire country, because this is reflective and representative of who Democrats are today. They are so willing to embrace the crazy because they hate Trump. I mean, this is just another example of Trump derangement syndrome at work. And again, hopefully they will pay a price as voters start to pay attention.
Harry, the New York Times did a deep dive into all of this, and they interviewed two of the progressive recruiters, the individuals responsible for bringing this guy onto the national stage, and they knew all about this guy. They knew every single sordid detail about this guy, and yet they said at the end of the day, none of it really mattered. They felt like he was still electable. What does that tell you?
It tells you they want to win at all costs. Nothing changed. The last allegation was terrible, but so were the earlier allegations. Remember, the New York Times did a story. They only called the first two of five sources that were given to them. And the person said the first two will help you deep background, but they won't know about the heavy-handed stuff. Here's the three that will. They didn't call them. They were sticking with this guy until he couldn't win.
Steve, you've been in politics a very long time here, and I know they're trying to figure out, I think they have three possibilities as far as replacements. I mean, what does that questionnaire look like now? Have you ever raped anybody? Are you being forced to stay 500 feet away from a grade school? I mean, this is insanity.
Well, and the media coverage has been as bad as Plattner. I mean, there was one of the reporters, I say reporters in quotes, who was interviewing one of these women who was, they say, sexually assaulted. If you listen to what she said, she was raped. And the reporter was trying to, in the worst distinction we've seen since Bill Clinton defining what is, was trying to define, well, you were compliant. And she said, that's not consensual. It's like, well, what's the difference in compliance and consent? And if he doesn't know the difference in that, when you're being bullied, threatened, at risk of your life and succumb to rape, that's different than a consensual sexual involvement.
Yeah, it's true. And Todd and Steve, can we also just call out the fact that there's a disturbing pattern here? When they get a nominee that they know is going to lose, they dump them, and then they get to handpick who they want to begin with. They didn't want the governor of Maine to be the Democratic nominee, so they settled for this guy. As soon as the polls came out, they didn't even come out, but they were leaked that he couldn't win over the weekend. They dropped him immediately. And now they get their 600 insider people to pick exactly who they want. And I think this was a fallback strategy. If Plattner could win, we'll take him because all we care about is winning. If he can't, we'll dump him and we'll pick who we want. They're terrible.
And the worst thing is that they constantly shout at the top of their lungs, democracy, democracy. Yeah. And we've seen it with Kamala Harris. We've seen it with this guy. Again, this is who we are, who they are. And when they show you who they are, we should believe them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Steve Gill joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Harry Hurley joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Guys, before we get to Iran, of course, there's the rise of communism. Disguised as democratic socialism across the country. Now, Harry, I know you guys up in the Northeast, you guys are kind of used to these folks, but here in the South, we're not. And I know in Memphis next week, AOC is coming to town, Ayanna Pressley from the Squad coming to town to campaign for this little radical communist with a power fro by the name of Justin Pearson. Harry, how concerned are you that that we could be watching a groundswell of support for communism in this country? Steve, I want you to jump in after Harry.
I'm concerned, Todd and Steve, but if the Democrats want to pick the most radical people, and they're a part of the Democrat Party, even though they are, in fact, communists, which they don't admit, but they are. They at least admit they're socialists now, so we see progress. My feeling is this, if they were to win, like say Talafrico were to win in Texas, then I'm worried. If he loses like Beto O'Rourke did, and if that candidate becomes a Democrat nominee, Todd, in your neck of the woods, and they get smoked in the general election, I'm not worried. If they expand the map and start winning where you wouldn't believe that they could win, then get ready. We're in trouble.
Steve, what say you?
Unfortunately, the promise of free stuff has been where socialism has run and won all over the world until people realize that there is no free lunch. And at that point, it's too late to change the system they've voted in place. We're seeing that a little bit in New York, where Mondani promised free buses and free grocery stores. And then the reality kicks in of, okay, we can't do the buses. We can't do the grocery stores. And by the way, all the billionaires we were going to tax to oblivion have now left the state and are moving to Tennessee and Texas and Florida. It doesn't work. It's never worked anywhere. And yet you've got all these young voters who grew up in the everybody gets a trophy generation, who are buying into free stuff because that's how they've lived their lives.
Meanwhile, fellas, we've got the war in Iran, which has kicked back up again. U.S. launching another series of strikes. President Trump says the ceasefire is pretty much over. Harry, how does this end, and do you see this impacting the midterm elections at all?
Second question is easy to answer. Yes, it's going to affect the midterms. How it ends determines who will benefit from it. There is still time and still room for Republicans to do very well in the midterm election, which would be against all of history except for right after September 11th, 2001. Regarding my former boss, the 45th and 47th president of the United States, Todd, Steve, he told us yesterday what he's going to do. He said, and I quote, "I'm ready to finish the job." That doesn't mean some kind of treaty. That doesn't mean some kind of agreement. That means he's going to take them down. He's prepared to do that, and he'll be the first in almost a half a century to be willing what it takes to finish the job, because you cannot sign a piece of paper. Their word is no good. They lie about everything. This second generation 2.0 of the religious nuts and the IRG, they got to go. And when they go, Iran has a shot. Maybe it becomes Persia again.
Steve, what are you hearing, boots on the ground?
Yeah, I don't think we end up with boots on the ground, although there's some talk of taking Karg Island, which is kind of their main repository of oil, their distribution center. That would require some degree of boots on the ground. But do we bring in the Qataris, the UAE, the Kuwaitis? Do we bring in others to kind of do that on the ground piece rather than American troops? But I think, you know, we can still bomb the snot out of them. I don't know why there's still 60 of their speedboats that were left to bomb yesterday. Right. Let's take out the rest. Yeah. You know, we've got the satellites to know where the IRGC is, where the besieged police forces are. Kill them all so that the people of Iran will be freed up and not have to worry about the guys with guns. And I think, like Harry said, you know, they've pushed Trump to do more than he wanted to do. And if they keep pushing, Iran will soon be I was.
Oh,
there you go.
There you go. All right, guys, one final topic. And we have the story up at ToddStearns.com generating a lot of conversation. It involves something called Black English. You've got a group of activists in California that want the state to now teach preschoolers how to talk with a black dialect. And that would involve basically legitimizing phrases like, I be happy, or what you be up to, or, for example, I'm finna ask you a question, for example. Harry Hurley, what do you make of all of this?
I'm not in favor of anything that takes young people away from learning proper English to have the best shot to overachieve in America, because we all have equal opportunity. We're just not guaranteed equal results. So if you're going to be teaching a language that's in violation of proper English, I have to be against that. It's called Black English. It's been called African-American English. It should not be taught. We're all Americans. We should all speak with proper diction. I think it would put people behind. If you go and interview for an appointment, a position, and one person comes in prim and proper and they're speaking beautiful English, and somebody comes in and they're doing something different, guess who's going to win? I don't like it. It's not necessary.
And Steve, Steve and I will take this part of it as Southerners. There are some Southern dialects that we can't even understand. So
we shouldn't be teaching them. We should just be passing them along at family dinners. Yeah, we've had this Ebonics push, or you've had in the black community where there's been pushback about, well, you're talking white. Well, that's how they're succeeding. That's how they're getting into the best schools and succeeding in the business environment. The only thing I'll say about this teaching black in California, I'm not really concerned at all. They can't teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. They got schools where they've got 15% literacy rates. If they don't teach black English any better than they've taught everything else, we shouldn't be worried at all.
All right. Steve Gill, TriStarDaily.com. Great website. If you love politics, you want to go check that out. Harry Hurley, the king of Atlantic City, New Jersey, has a terrific morning show on WPG Radio. Guys, always good hanging out with you on the radio.
See you, Todd. See you, Steve.
All right. Great fellows right there. All right. We're going to take a break, going right to your phone calls coming up next, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, if you want to go back and listen to that great great panel discussion with Harry and Steve Gill, all you need to do is go to ToddStearns.com and download our free podcast, and you'll be able to listen to that at your leisure. Let's work in some phone calls if we can. Ken in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Ken. What's on your mind?
Todd, love listening to you. Hey, just real quick. I'm 63 years old. I grew up pretty much eating Taco Bell. I've been married 38 years, and my wife calls it taco smell.
Taco smell. Ken, you're 63. You might need to add some roughage to your diet, my friend.
One last thing. I've done thousands of pre-employment law enforcement backgrounds. Platner wouldn't have made the first cut.
Is that right?
That's correct. we hold ourselves to a lot of standards here in Texas.
Well, God bless Texas. I'll say that much. Ken, thank you for listening to us today. And tell your wife we said hello. Taco smell. I love that. Let's go to Todd in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Todd. What's on your mind?
Well, there's plenty on my mind, but what I want to talk to you about, y'all and the rest of the country are just getting initialized to this ICE shooting here in Houston Tuesday morning. And I saw this coming and I immediately knew what was going to happen. And it took the, call them the race pimps and whores, about 37 hours to show up here in Houston and start their protest with all their signs that they were freshly printed. And we got a situation with a man, 52 years old, I believe he is, who has been in the country 35 years. And, of course, all the local stations have press conferences telling us how good of a worker he was, the taxpayer, and this, that, and the other.
Let me jump in here, Todd. We have a super bad phone connection, and I'm wondering, guys, can we try to maybe get him to call back on another line, and we'll try to pick up that conversation on the other side of the break here, because we are coming up on a hard break we've got to take. But, Todd, I want you to give us a holler back, and we'll try to work that out. It's our understanding as well, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Houston, and maybe you guys can help us work through this. But our understanding, the reports we're getting, is that this guy used his vehicle as a weapon and tried to run over an ICE agent. And the agent actually fired back in self-defense and struck the bad guy. So it just seems to me, don't aim a gun at an ICE agent. Don't aim your car at an ICE agent, and you'll be just fine. We've got that situation in Memphis where federal agents shot and killed somebody that did the exact same thing. All right, we'll pick up this conversation on the other side of the break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 of the big show. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the program brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. It is true. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax, watching great shows with Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt, Finnerty, and more. So if you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It's absolutely free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access and get all of President Trump's most important events live. Imagine watching Mike Huckabee's Israel special or the incredible documentary about Melania Trump, all available at Newsmax Plus. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. It's incredibly easy, so make the switch to Newsmax Plus today. Well, if you are a supporter of the Second Amendment, you need to pay very close attention to the next few moments here on the radio. Very disturbing situation in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where the far-left Democrats are wanting to take away your guns. But what's fascinating about the story is that the Democrats, in the legislation they are trying to advance, they get to keep their guns at the state level. So if you're a member of the state house, if you're a member of the assembly or the state senate, you get to keep your weapons, but they're coming after the law-abiding citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Fortunately, our good friends at the National Rifle Association are doing something about that. Justin Davis, the Director of Public Affairs at NRA, joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Justin, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you guys have been all over this story, filing a lawsuit against the governor. If you could just set the stage for us, tell us what happened and why you guys decided to get involved.
Yeah, from the second Governor Spanberger took office, we knew this was coming down the line. She had, was an adamant supporter of Bloomberg Groups, said she'd be passing an assault weapons ban, and we told her if she did that, we'd take her to court. And when she did that, well, we took her to court, and we wanted the first step. We secured a statewide comprehensive preliminary injunction stopping this bill from, or this law from going into effect, to make sure that while this court case plays out, Virginians have access to their Second Amendment rights.
You know, I think a lot of people are struggling to understand why this is happening, and of all places, Virginia. But the fact of the matter is, Justin, elections simply have consequences, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is just a petri dish for what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. if progressives take over Congress. And so this is all a trial balloon. This should never happen in Virginia. It shouldn't happen anywhere. But a gun-owning, proud, purple state like Virginia to have this kind of swing so quickly is really horrific and should wake up everybody across the country, whether you live in Wyoming or California or Virginia. All your rights are just one election away. So you have to stay vigilant and you have to get involved.
I want to go back to the actual law that they were advancing, and I just cringe every time a Democrat uses the phrase assault weapon, but that's what this was, a ban on assault weapons and a magazine ban that was enacted by the Democrats.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of consultants that Michael Bloomberg pays to come up with a whole lot of scary terms to scare people out of their Second Amendment rights. So-called assault weapons bans are just bans on commonly owned firearms. Semi-automatic firearms that are just as common as Ford F-150s in this country. And that's the AR-15, not even taking into account the other swaths of style firearms they banned. I mean, they banned turkey hunting shotguns because they have pistol grips. I mean, this is so beyond the pale of what is good policy. It's just purely what's good politics for Democrats in Virginia. And so we're not going to stand idly by while any infringement of your rights happen. And of course, something that's so extreme like this, we need to hold them accountable. We need to make sure they're taking them to court. And that's exactly what we'll do every single time they try this.
Are there any other hot spots around the nation that you guys are concerned about where Second Amendment rights are coming under attack?
I mean, I think it's all 50 states. I mean, I look at Virginia. I mean, every single state is one election away from losing their rights. I mean, you maybe get to live in a state like Alabama or Wyoming and you think that doesn't affect you. But on the national level, if progressives take over Washington, D.C. and pass a national quote-unquote assault weapons ban, that comes for you too, regardless of your state. So, I mean, I come from Maine. That happened quickly as well. Progressives took over that state. Look what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of news cycle about what's happening in Maine. It can happen quickly, and if you don't get involved and you don't make a difference, these people will take your political world and they'll turn it upside down.
And just to give you an example of that, a few days ago, big story nationwide about what's happening in Oregon, where they're actually proposing a ban on hunting and fishing, and that actually is making it to the November ballot in the state of Oregon, which is a big outdoor state, but the Democrats there want to ban hunting and fishing.
It really is incredibly ridiculous, right? I mean, that's not even taking into effect the ecological impacts that will have. I mean, if you look at studies across this country in places that have restricted hunting and restricted gun ownership, like Massachusetts, they're having massive public health issues, whether it's Lyme disease, car crashes, animals getting sick. I mean, hunters are the best conservationists in this country. And to take away that ability for them to, one, exercise their rights, feed their families, and help keep the outdoors balanced. I mean, it's really a terrible, terrible, terrible idea.
So back to Virginia for just a moment here. So the judge has issued a temporary injunction. What happens next?
Of course. So we get into the real legal world where there'll be appeals and back and forth from different courts. We're assuming this will make its way to the Virginia Supreme Court, where we anticipate we'll be successful. The judges in multiple counties have already said that the merits of this case are clear. This is clearly an infringement of Second Amendment rights. And so we pretty feel confident this goes to the Supreme Court that will win. But we're incredibly happy that while this plays out in court, and you know the Democrats and Jay Jones and Abigail Spanberger are going to drag their feet and draw this out as long as they possibly can, that Virginians don't have to lose their rights during this ridiculous process.
Well said. Well, we really appreciate you guys being all over this story. Justin, where do we need to send them to get more information on the lawsuit and what else is going on out there?
Absolutely. Make sure you go to NRA.org. That's where you can get all your updates for your legislative updates, your updates on where you can get involved with the organization. Of course, these lawsuits are costly. We need membership. We need you to get involved. Take a seat at the table to make sure you can protect rights, not only in your home state, but across the country.
No, it's a good advice and good guidance and a great job there. I know a lot of gun owners there in Virginia are very excited to see what you guys are doing. Justin Davis with the NRA, National Rifle Association, Director of Public Affairs. Justin, we'll get you back on soon. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, this is a crazy story out of Oregon, where this ballot initiative is going to be decided on whether or not to ban hunting and fishing in the state of Oregon. It's called IP-28, and it is an incredibly controversial issue. By the way, this is all being framed as a case of animal cruelty. So they say, the animal rights crowd, they say it's cruel to, say, go fishing or go hunting. So if you're a deer hunter, you would not be able to go deer hunting. According to KATU, the ballot initiative would ban hunting, fishing, and animal slaughter in Oregon. I guess that's forcing the entire state to go vegan. Supporters of Initiative Petition 28, also known as the Peace Act, announced that they turned in roughly 140,000 signatures to the Oregon Secretary of State's office. And it's the campaign's strongest showing. They've been trying to do this for quite some time. So if approved by voters, the proposal would expand Oregon's animal cruelty laws to cover animals raised on farms, used in research, and living in the wild. Supporters say it would extend the same legal protections currently given to companion animals like dogs and cats. Opponents say it would effectively end animal agriculture, commercial fishing, hunting, and other industries that rely on animals. This is insane. I'm curious, and we have a lot of listeners in the great state of Oregon. I mean, what are you guys going to do for beef? I mean, where do you go? I mean, and it seems to me that if you're not able to kill a cow, for example, in Oregon, then why would state leaders allow beef from other states to be brought into Oregon, right? I mean, if you're going to ban it, you got to ban it all the way. I reckon that means people there are going to, they're going to have to become vegans. What a weird story. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Man, Houston is really turning into a war zone. You had police getting into a shootout with some idiot who stole a car in a very popular shopping center area called Highland Village. And then they were in a standoff there. And just a little while ago, we understood about 1,500 protesters are walking in Houston's East End. And they're all protesting this ICE agent who shot an illegal on his way to work the day before. So we've got Todd back with us. He's one of our listeners from Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Todd, I think we've got the signal issue worked out there. But this is a crazy story unfolding in Houston.
Boy, you ain't kidding. Check 1, 2, 3. How's this microphone?
Yeah, you're doing just fine.
All right. Yes, and the craziness about it was that I was trying to point out is no, the news media was on it from the beginning, local, okay? They didn't have any video, any nothing for about the first 32 hours. And yesterday, like a plane load of these people showed up with their pre-printed signs and everything. And they're on this, it's over there in an area where they just got rid of Cesar Chavez Boulevard because the stuff about Cesar Chavez. But, they are now beating the drums and megaphones and all this stuff. It's crazy. And I'm just warning everybody nationwide, get ready to see all kinds of stuff here in Houston. But the one thing you left out of your description, Todd, is the shots were fired once this 52-year-old man who had been in America now 35 years, and the family's claiming about how he had his paperwork in order and he was ready to go file it after 35 years. But on top of that, he drove his vehicle trying to run over one of the ICE agents.
Oh, yes. Okay? Yes. Yeah, we mentioned that in the last hour.
Now, I would love to be on a panel with George Stephanopoulos and what's his name? The son of the lady, newspaper lady.
Anderson Cooper?
There you go. I'd like to be on panels with all them people and say, please, which one of you want to raise your hand? I'll give you a gun and I'll take a Ford F-150 and we'll match up against each other. And I'll put a turbo on that F-150 too, you know, and see which one of them jumps forward to volunteer. Because this is crazy. And luckily, our mayor here in Houston has said that, you know, this is a federal investigation. They're going to take care of it. And that's another thing they're complaining about. They want independent investigation. Okay. And you're doing good on the subject. But one other thing, please play some AC/DC for me today, because today would have been Bon Scott's birthday.
Wow.
You know who Bon Scott is?
AC/DC. You know what? We'll try to get that into the end of the rotation.
But Bon Scott, he was the first singer. And then he died in that car crash, you know. But I love the early AC/DC, but that's the birthday. But we got problems here in Houston, and get ready for the rest of the nation to hear about what's going on. What did that say? They said, Houston, we have a problem, right?
Indeed, Houston does. Well, we certainly appreciate you calling in there. And, Todd, thank you for that update. My goodness gracious. So what a situation in Houston. But look, I mean, it's very clear. If you turn your car into a vehicle and you try to kill an ICE agent, well, they're going to shoot back and they're going to kill you. I mean, it's really that simple. Same thing in Memphis, Tennessee. We had a guy yesterday. Oh, I drove past this. Dylan, did I tell you about this? The traffic was all backed up, but I drove past it. It was happened right next to the Jewish Community Center, and they had to lock down the whole facility. But they had some guy that the feds were after, and the guy opened fire, and cops fired back. Dead bad guy.
Yeah, my wife's trying to get me to move. She got the notification just like we did, I think. She's like, all right, we should move, right? No, we're good. We're good.
You're all right.
We're good.
You're all right.
But yeah, I saw that.
All right. We don't have to take a break yet. 901-260-5926. I want to bring this story to your attention. And Dylan, I guess I'm just out of the loop here. Maybe I'm just a nerd. I'm boring. The headline from the New York Post, how unhinged sleazy men are swiping on Hinge to find free overnight stays in World Cup host cities. I'm not familiar with Hinge. Is that like a new dating site?
It is. It's not new. It's been around, but it is the same format. Like you swipe on people to match with them.
So a single gal's address is now emerging as the most attractive quality to sleazy guys on dating apps who are on the hunt for free room and board rather than true romance. They even have a term for it. They're called hobosexuals.
Wow. This is new. This is new.
Emily Durham is a lifestyle and career content creator from Toronto. That's north of the border. Warning, girls, they're using Hinge as Airbnb. She has 1.6 million video viewers. Maybe I should shave my legs. Maybe that would get us more viewers.
You don't show your legs, Todd.
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe that's the problem. So she conveyed the story about a good friend that recently matched with a handsome hunk on the popular dating app. After a few flirty exchanges, the heartthrob offered to wine and dime her chum with a week-long date in her neighborhood. Who writes like this? The guy says, the only catch is I might need to stay over because I live far. And she was like, no, I don't know you. And he was like, yeah, well, I also have a social engagement in your neighborhood, so it might just make sense for me to stay over. That's a super creepy. Who would do that? Once the unnamed friend rebuffed the request, a presumed freeloading fellow fessed up. He said, honestly, I'm not looking for anything serious. I'm not looking for anything long term. I just want to take you out, have a good time, and spend the weekend together. his thinly veiled intentions nearly sent Durham over the edge. They're using Hinge like Eric. So Hinge is like a dating site?
Yeah, it's like any other one. You swipe on each other. I actually have never used this, but I'd assume you just swipe on each other, and then it puts you in a conversation together.
Really?
I think. I don't use dating. I'm a married man. I don't know.
I just don't know. I just don't know about this. All these apps. Have you seen the Instagram post, by the way? I just think this is very funny. Apparently, a very religious woman was so excited, a proud mom, she shared a photo of her son claiming that he was using an app to memorize Bible verses, but it turned out to be Grindr.
Oh.
She was so proud. Oh. Yes, sweet mercy. Lord have mercy. All right, we'll be right back. That's not what that's for, I don't think. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. The situation with President Trump and Iran. Look, I'm a big fan of the president, and I'm excited about the direction we're going, because let me tell you something. This is nuts. Iran cannot be trusted. Iran will never honor a ceasefire. I mean, it really is that simple. So I am just so glad that the president has finally seen through all of this and is doing something about it. My question is, how far do we go here? What does victory look like for us? Do we just blow Iran off the face of the earth? How do we determine when we actually win this thing? And that is sort of an open question right now. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Story out of Jackson County, Mississippi. Have you guys been following this? An 18-year-old in Mississippi, a black young man, found dead after he vanished on the 4th of July. 18-year-old Nolan Xavier Wells, pretty much an upstanding young man. I believe he had an athletic scholarship, came from a very good family, and his death is causing a lot of controversy and rumor and speculation there in southern Mississippi. So here's the deal. The NAACP is getting involved now. Ben Crump, he's sort of like the modern-day version of Al Sharpton. He's getting involved in this, and they're alleging that there was some sort of wrongdoing here, because the young man, Nolan Wells, was hanging out with an all-white group of friends. So he and his buddies, all white guys, went down for a day of fun on the beach at Horn Island. And that's where he was last seen, and all of this happening on the afternoon of the 4th of July. One of the local judges, her white son, was a part of all of this, and was a part of the friend group. So the allegations are that the white kids did something nefarious here. And right now, I don't think there's any sign of foul play. Nobody seems to know what happened to the kid. But he simply disappeared, did not return with the group, and that's that. So now one of the parents has released a statement. Her name is Judge. She's a Chancery Court Judge, Ashley Cole, released a statement on social media, sort of getting whatever information they can out there. It's just a crazy story. And I want to share this with you. She said, "Our family, along with the community, grieves the loss of Nolan Wells. Our thoughts and prayers are with Nolan's family. Our son, Warren, loved Nolan dearly. Unfortunately, I feel that it is appropriate for our family to dispel some rumors with facts based upon the social media attention that is being diverted away from the Wells family and their loss. So apparently she deactivated her Facebook, and that caused all sorts of chaos. She said, given the very heightened emotional state of social media right now, I feel for the safety of my child and my children. My husband and I have 6 children, and we covet their privacy. We do not believe it is appropriate for our minor children's photographs to be circulated throughout the internet, presenting potential threats to their safety. Now, here's where it gets interesting. It turns out Judge Cole graduated high school with Nolan's mom. It's a small town, okay? Just small town Mississippi. I graduated high school with Christina Wells Wansley. We are from the same community. I have the utmost respect for her and all of the Wells family. We mourn the loss of Nolan with them. Our prayers have been and will continue to be with them. My husband and I were not at Horn Island at any point on the 4th of July. No one in our family is trying in any way to impede with the investigation by law enforcement or to otherwise hamper the family and law enforcement's quest for answers. Warren, that's her son, was interviewed by the Jackson County Sheriff's Department and cooperated fully. He last saw Nolan at 3 p.m. on July 4th. They left around 4:30 p.m. when the boat was taking on water and they had an issue with the bilge pump. Nolan made a decision to stay on the island and return inland later with another group of friends. Yes, I am a judge. I also value transparency. I apologize if anyone was offended that I deleted my social media. There was no nefarious motivation in my deleting my social media. Social media has a lot of positives, but a whole lot of negatives. Well, that's true. We live in a world of clickbaiting, sad but true. My family is hopeful this information will help to direct the attention to the Wells family and their grief and their need for our community's respect or support. So there you go. What a mess. And so now they're alleging, I mean, now people are saying, oh, if you're a black family, never let your black child go be the only black person around white people. Unbelievable. Wells was a college football player and had taken a boat with friends to the island on Saturday, but did not return with them. That's according to the spokesman for the United Cajun Navy. They were helping with the search. The sheriff says that all of the friends, the friend group, have been cooperating with the investigation. Unbelievable. So there you go. The question is, at this point, oh, now the NAACP is getting involved. So this is one of the bad things about social media. Because sometimes you can have a situation, and again, it's people are just saying don't jump to conclusions here. And you should not jump to a conclusion because, again, it's like, for example, what's happening with Charlie Kirk right now. If you listen to all of these people on these conservative grifters, and they're saying, oh, this was Israel. Remember, I mean, you had all of these very high-profile people out there on social media saying Israel assassinated Charlie Kirk. There was no way Tyler Robinson could have done this, could have done the crime. Well, now, after just several days of hearing all the testimony in this preliminary hearing come out, guess what happens? Now you have the evidence. And all of these people are starting to hush up now because the evidence is coming out. The actual facts are coming out, not the conjecture. And that's what's happening here in Mississippi. And the problem is this can blow up very, very quickly because we all know what happens when race is involved. The Jackson County Sheriff's Department of Mississippi putting out a call to action asking anyone who was at the island on July 4th to reach out. The sheriff says there have been many new tips and pieces of information, but right now, just tons of speculation and rumors. The sheriff says that Wells did, in fact, stay behind on the island and planned to catch a ride back to shore later that afternoon. So clearly, that to me would take the friends out of the equation here. But on Monday, a park ranger found Wells's body washed up in the marsh at the edge of the island. And he was brought back and taken to the state medical examiner's office for an autopsy. Those results are pending. The NAACP president, Curly Clark, says they're going to ensure the tragedy will be fully investigated, but we do not want anyone to jump to conclusions before the facts are known. And yet they immediately do just that. The NAACP then said, it's sad, but I have to admit that race is a part of the equation. Why is it a part of? Why? Why is race a part of the equation, NAACP? Unbelievable. The sheriff telling TV station WLOX detectives are coordinating with the district attorney's office because the autopsy will steer the course of the death investigation. And so there we have it. And now Ben Crump is getting involved. And that is only going to lead to really bad things happening. According to a press release from Ben Crump, who is, again, an Al Sharpton-like race professional, race agitator, that the family of Nolan Wells has retained him as their attorney. The family, of course, calling for a thorough and transparent investigation. Of course you want it. Of course you want a full investigation. So we'll see how this plays out. But just to bring, in case you hear about this, because it's making People magazine now, so this will become one of those big national stories, and you need to hear about it here first. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Here is President Trump saying he is officially done with Iran. Cut number 29.
Is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal. And they, if I make a deal with him, we have a deal. And he goes out, he talks. We make a deal. Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
Yeah, well, good. Good. And that's the way it needs to be. Let's bomb what we have to bomb, declare victory, and get the heck out of there. That's what I say. So, look, a Democrat congresswoman, her name is Adelita Gravalia. She is very upset because the America 250 celebration, she says, is too focused on Christianity. Take a listen to Cut 30, please.
This iteration of America 250, this Freedom 250 that Donald Trump and his cronies have engaged in, there is a real strong element of Christian nationalism that is meant to define what it means to be an American. Can you speak to that and what you guys uncovered?
Well, and that's incredibly problematic because our nation is built on really the contributions of immigrants, of people from all different countries, all different nationalities, and all different religions. We do not have an official religion in this country, nor do I believe should we. We are supposed to be this melting pot where everyone comes together and is stronger as a result of it. But under this administration, it is more about how Christian you are. You know, you're not, if you're Catholic, you're not Christian enough. If you're Muslim, you're not part of our, I mean, it's like a, this sort of club of elitists, and they keep pushing people away and out of what is supposed to be a really solid celebration. Even some of the speakers that were speaking all spoke of religion, and not as much about what the contributions have been in our country. We could have had a true celebration of art, music, poetry, just a big encompassing celebration of what it is to be an American and everyone that has contributed. But what it has been is an incredibly stifling hot environment where nobody is coming to because there's really nothing to see there.
Yeah, some of the earliest Americans were those who were fleeing religious persecution, and that's been a long-standing tenet of our country's success. It's also the freedom of religion is guaranteed in the First Amendment. I could go on and on about how one religion shouldn't hijack an entire celebration of America. Real quickly, trend lines are looking good for the Dems to take back the House. Do you think this would be something that would be investigated if Democrats get the gavel back?
Oh, I believe it will be, yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go. Another anti-Christian communist there. Interesting story. We're going to pick this up tomorrow on the show. Fort Worth, Texas, there is some crazy video. We're going to have it over on the website, toddstearns.com. A Christian preacher, this guy is one of the street preachers. So they'll show up and they'll, speak on the sidewalks and preach from the Bible and all that kind of stuff. So there were several of them that showed up at a Pride event, and they're on public property, and they were preaching against homosexuality and what the Bible says about all of that. And a couple of police officers showed up. And all of this is captured on video, which you can see at the website, toddstearns.com. Police officers telling the preacher that he was saying things that were offensive, and specifically, they called out his use of the phrase homosexuality is a sin. They said that was offensive speech. And they said calling a gay person the F word is also offensive speech. And they told the preachers that they would receive tickets if they continued to say that homosexuality is a sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I went back and I looked at the Constitution, and as near as I can tell, your precious little ears are not protected from speech you find to be offensive. And they were actually threatened after the police or after the pastor said, well, we're not going to stop. They threatened to arrest the preachers. And again, this is all in a public space. And if the drag queens are allowed to, I don't know, prance about, if the activists are allowed to wear their buttless leather chaps in public, why would a preacher with a Bible not be allowed to occupy the same public space? According to the videos, the police officers, and there were multiple Fort Worth police officers, they told the Christian preachers that if they continued to preach in a public space, they would be arrested for trespassing. The preacher said, so if we preach in here, we're going to be arrested for trespassing? And the officer said, correct, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on in the Fort Worth, Texas Police Department? Do they not understand that we have something called the U.S. Constitution? Do they not understand that these preachers have a right to say what they're going to say? And by the way, it very well may be offensive, but you know what? The LGBT crowd, they say stuff that's very offensive as well. I don't see the cops threatening them. Many of them actually stripped down buck naked, not in Fort Worth, but in places like Portland and Seattle and San Francisco. Nobody got arrested. So you're telling me that in the great state of Texas, you folks are going to start arresting preachers? I don't know about that. All right, we've got to leave it there, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a lot of fun. ToddStearns.com. ToddStearns.com. Go and check out our website. We have all sorts of great content for you to check out there. We're going to be back here noon o'clock on the radio. You guys get out there and be good, America.